Yeah. Kelly.
You're welcome.
See Kelly.
Does it sound good?
No, it doesn't.
No, it sounds great. No. Sound good. Oh, okay. Really good.
I'm actually on my AirPods.
I am so happy. Well, I am so happy Jeremy is here because I was going to. Justin sent me a text today that says, oh, we're going to need the whole hour to talk about this chapter. And I was going to play my favorite game on this podcast called Prove It.
Prove it. Are we live?
To somebody, who's read the other 10 books.
Prove it.
For someone who's read the other 10 books, I'm sure this is really important. For someone who has read up to this chapter, it's just another setup. It's like watching the show. They're just setting something up, and we hope we get there.
How dare you, first of all. How dare you.
Thank you,
second
Jeremy.
Of all.
Thank you.
I'm starting to feel your pain, Des. I started, I want to say reading, but let's just be honest. It's listening to books. The Brandon Sanderson books, The Way of Kings and all that. And I'll find myself going, wait, who's this guy? Wait, what's he doing? And then I was like, oh, this is how Des feels all the time. He always feels like this. Like, oh. I don't, wait, who is this guy? He got mentioned 2 books ago? Okay.
Have we met Egwin? Is she, should I know who that is?
Yeah, you might not know that. She's the star of the show, the TV show.
Oh, that Egwin. Okay.
Yeah, that one.
If you guys didn't know, Egwin is the dragon. That's right. There's actually 3 dragons. We call them Tiberian.
I hate the show so much.
So what?
I'm starting to hate the books because of it too.
I look at my books on the shelf sometimes and I'm just like,
I get upset. I'm not lying. Seriously. I was listening to it and I'm like, God. I'm really excited actually that we hit this because like I was listening to this and I got really excited because, you know, I know what's coming and like Des said, it's for someone who knows what's coming, it's excited. But for someone who doesn't know what's coming, it's like, at least the books do have payoff, at least once to 4 times in every book there's great payoff, so we can't say that about season 1 and 2.
It's why I'm so happy I never got tattoos when I was younger, because 2 of the things that I've gotten tattooed on my body would have been this, you know, the Wheel of Time stuff and Star Wars stuff. And I've been like, okay, how much is getting a tattoo removed? Oh, wow. Okay. How much pain is it? Oh, God. Okay. Well, it's got to be done.
I'm actually going to go on. I might go on Friday the 13th and see if I can get a cheap tattoo of some dice on my hand. for Matt.
Good luck.
Oh, for Matt. That's okay. Okay.
It's a great idea.
Why not? They're going to get wrinkly and age spotted anyway. Who cares?
Yeah. I'm going to get a penis tattooed on my face just to give me the drive I need to become a rap star, because can't work at Taco Bell.
You're just not motivated. You cannot.
Just not motivated.
This lady came in today and we started talking about tattoos and why she decided to tell me that she had a taco on her ass with someone like flipping the finger. I'm not sure how that works out exactly. Maybe they've got little arms and legs. Maybe there's just a hand shooting out of the taco with the finger. I also didn't know if it was maybe a euphemism for something else. So I was just like, oh, that's gross. See you later. Have a great day. Do you need a receipt? Jesus Christ.
That's it. That's amazing. I have the same thing, but it's a gordita.
How's yours? Does it have arms and legs or is there just a fist?
It does. Is it
an Uncle Chico like bird or is it like an angry yes. one? Is it like a hello
no,
I love
no, no.
you kind of?
It's a hello I love you, definitely. Yeah. Mine's, on the other side I got right, a bell beaver.
About our Uncle Chico, Des?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
we were allowed to like flip him off back. At least I was. Like you could flip him off back. It was like the only time.
At like 7, he'd flip us off.
Yeah, and like you were, at least, I don't know if you were Jeremy, but like my parents were like, you can flip him off back. Like, it's okay to flip the bird to him because it's like.
No, my parents were absolutely not.
See, now
I didn't think so. I had a feeling that I was probably could take a guess on that one.
My mom would have preferred that to.
You were a pervert?
To who we called Uncle Butthead. As in, he would headbutt me. Because he would headbutt me. Hello.
Oh, wow.
Into my little 8-year-old noggin, I think she would have wished I was flipping him the bird instead of getting headbutted.
Nowadays, they'd be like, the CTE.
Yeah, it was not a low. I mean, it wasn't concussion causing, but it also wasn't. It wasn't a honey. I don't know if you guys know what a honey is.
No, what's that?
Honey is just when you kind of put your heads together and just kind of send each other a little bit of energy, nice
it's
and kind of
like brain. It's kind of like brain freeze.
Can I ask you where you heard that reference, honey?
Hey, if you guys want to check out another great podcast, go check out Truth Not Trends with Liam Bauer and Jesse. Why can't I think of Jesse? Hasn't been on a couple episodes because I can't remember. So I can't remember his last name. But
Eisenberg.
Liam Bauer. And he's my strength trainer and he gives me honies.
Okay.
That's right.
I'd like to know the origin of the honey.
It's some island.
Sounds very Canadian.
It's an
they're UK, aren't they, Des?
Therefore, I don't like it.
No.
Freaking Canadians. Canadians are nice. I deal with Canadians all the time.
So, Jeremy, are you just bored tonight? Or were you like...
So bored.
I got to make sure these guys know how to pronounce Ryudian. Roydane?
Ryudian.
It was named after a guy who's got his cousin makes sausages. His name's Jim Dean. It's like Roy Dean. He's his cousin. They're friends.
It's true.
Oh, Roy Dean. Like Sue Ann.
Roy Dean.
Roy Dean.
Roy Dean. Yeah. Sue Ann.
Like Sue Ann.
They pronounce it Roy Dean. And I'm like, are we in Georgia?
Yeah. It's like the white trash pronunciation of everything.
Roy Dean.
No, I keep listening to you guys' podcasts and I'm like, these guys don't know what they're talking about. My God, I gotta go back on.
I know.
Straight up.
I say it every episode. Where is the person who actually corrects me all the time when I'm fucking dead wrong? You'd think I'd be right about some of this stuff, but the utta-hutta keeps me from forming proper conclusions.
There's a saying Kelly and I have, stupid makes you stupid. And I am just sucking the knowledge out of your brain. You're just like, I don't know who that is anymore. Because Desmond keeps asking me about him. He's drained the information.
It's draining my will to live.
Yeah.
Anyways, you guys better get started. We're gonna have no time left.
Yeah, I know. Okay. You know what? It's fine. Where are we at? We're in Roy Dean, first of all.
You know what? If Justin has anything to say after the 30-minute mark, he's lying.
No, that's not true. Okay.
He's moved on to the next chapter.
I did start listening to the next chapter. Fuck. Then I got a little confused.
Yeah.
We're pretty much Matt's POV this whole chapter. And they're just outside of Roy Dean and they have this wall of fog, sort of like the Central Valley, Jeremy, you're used to it. Some of the stuff that our parents made us drive
totally
when we were kids to work.
Oh, I still have to drive in it, buddy. Sorry.
Yeah. But your parents, you wouldn't make Cooper drive in that shit to work for you.
I absolutely would. Yeah, I would force him to.
Then you're bad.
I would force him to drive me.
Yeah. That's different. I used to drive my dad around too.
Just to drag this out a little bit further, everyone out there, I moved 10 miles away from my old house, but I moved to the other side of the hill and it's foggy. You would think that the bay side of the hill would be foggier, but no. The stuff that creeps over the hill and lands on top of our house is fucking nasty.
The road to this.
Are you just gonna play the whole chapter?
I'm gonna play just. Yeah, that'll fine. We don't have to talk anymore. You just say whatever we want. No, I'm just gonna play the clip first off because it's like that's the only clip I have, and it's the very beginning of the chapter.
So and I just want to clarify this is a good chapter, but it's another chapter in a long line of something's coming.
This is a good chapter, except for people who hate reading.
You know, when I listen to this show now,
we talk about books.
I might have to move my therapy up to every week because I love every other week when I get to listen to this show on the way to and from my therapist. It's perfect.
I hate him. Is your therapy about me?
I was like, you know what? I was going to tell you about like real issues in my life, but I just got to tell you.
Fatty pisses me off.
I mean, did Rand, did he conjure the water? I don't know.
Is he Queen the Dragon? I don't know.
Tell me, Troy, what am I paying you for?
God damn it. All right. We're gonna chapter 24, or Roy Dean, very beginning of the chapter, just like a minute and a half, real quick.
That's mouth was not leaking moisture anymore.
Roy Dean. Time.
Spitting it out, he squatted beside Rand and stared at the billowing gray wall, maybe 30 paces in front of them.
Did your parents ever tell you to suck on a stone?
Fog.
Instead of water?
He hoped at least it was cooler in there than out here, and some water would be appreciated. His lips were cracking. He pulled the scarf from around his head and wiped his face, but there was not much sweat to dampen.
Oh, what? Did chapstick? Did all the chapstick get lost in the breaking?
A place to sit down. His feet felt like cooked sausages inside his boots. He felt pretty well
Chevy Chase
for that matter. The fog stretched left and right, better than a mile, and bulked over his head like a towering cliff. A cliff of thick mist in the middle of a barren, blistered valley. There had to be water in there. Why doesn't it burn off? He did not like that part of it. Fooling with the power had brought him here, and now it seemed he had to fool with it again. Light, I want to be free of the power and Aes Sedai. Burn me, I do. Anything not to think of stepping into that fog for just a minute more. That was Egwene's Aiel friend I saw running, he croaked. Running in this heat. Just...
And she's nude. So
There's one thing I was going to talk to you guys about. You guys were asking, like... So Rand goes through the glass columns, and you were saying Avienda is going to go through the glass columns, but she doesn't go through the glass columns.
Something else.
She goes through the rings that are just like the ones in the tower.
Yeah, are they archways or rings laying on the ground flat?
They're archways. I think they're just like the ones that they describe at the bottom of the tower. That's why she has to go nude, because just like they do in the tower.
I thought it was just a stupid sex thing from Eleanor Rigby. Like, oh, the boys get to wear their pants because nobody wants to see their wieners.
That's They'd funny. Have to take off their pantaloons.
I tell everyone the same thing when they want to come in my studio.
Sorry.
Girls nude, boys strap up. Oh, my God. So, yeah. So right after this, you know, Des, like what you're saying, you get to hear... Matt's kind of selfish logic, you know, just typical Matt. He's like, look, they said I had to come here. Do I have to do anything? Can I just sit here? And Rand's like, well, I had to come for everybody. He goes, I don't have to come. They didn't tell me I had to come. So obviously you see that they had vastly different answers in the Terangreal. And then Rand basically uses, like you said, does he magic the water up? Yeah, he magics the water up. He goes deep down and like finds it. It's very, very deep. It's like a huge aquifer like you'd find in like Arizona or something, way, 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 way down, and then boom. And then once he blessed it, then it comes up. And Jeremy, this is a question. This is why I really, really wanted you here. So the fog at Roydean is it's magically contained, right? It doesn't just sit there forever.
Yeah, that's how the sausage is made at the Roydean. Okay. It's held together by held together by the fog.
I will fuck up there. Some Roydean sausage.
It has something to do with it, because eventually something happens, spoiler alert, where the fog
right
dissipates.
And as they're kind of walking through, they're seeing stuff that's really important. They talk about there's all these like kind of larger pillars and things, and the pillars that Rand walks into, it's a Terangreal cache of. And as you get further in the story, they tried to haul a lot of it off. But the stuff that's still there, it's like stuff that was too big to move by a cart, you know?
So what's Roydean originally? What was there like? We probably don't know yet, but spoilers, everybody. Like, what was it before the breaking?
It was nothing before the breaking.
So what kind of happens is.
But there's a huge, they keep talking about this huge abandoned city. Was it just a city?
It's not abandoned. It's not finished.
It never really got populated. You're going to see it coming next chapter. The next few chapters. Yeah. Yeah. They'll tell the whole backstory of what happens.
So
without giving too much away.
So it's Sudden Valley from Arrested Development.
Yes, sort of.
Yes, sort of.
Sorry.
A little bit. It was a place for one of the Aiel clans to live.
But by the time they got there, it was like, there's not much, there's none left.
Right. So, Jeremy, is this a question without, were they building it? Did they start building it after the breaking as a sanctuary for the Jen Aiel, or excuse me, for the Aiel that were going to go there? Or
I think
was
it
was already like,
the, okay. It was more for the things that they had with them, like the Chora trees. or Cora trees.
Right, but that's what I'm saying. Yeah. Was it, did they were traveling around with the Cora trees and like the Terran girls and stuff?
And
was
the Terran
after the break? Yeah. Was that just during the War of Power and the Age of Legends, like towards the end, or was it after the breaking had started?
It was after the breaking had started. So if you think about like, because what happens is the War of Power, it kind of ends, right? And then they load up everything and they start taking it away. And then there's like a bunch of stuff starts happening. They're traveling for probably hundreds of years, like just like a wagon train.
Like a couple of generations of Aiel and the Aes Sedai live so long.
Exactly. And plus, so they have all this stuff. And then I think what happens is they start having like maybe prophecies of like, hey, you need to go to this place and you need to build this.
Oh.
And you need to put this stuff here so that when the time comes, the dragon will have access to it.
Right. Because Lazar, like, that one of the things that he does come across as they're walking through the square, and Matt actually even notices Rand's kind of on a mission, and he stops and he looks at these two statues, and those are the Chodan Call statues that we've talked about. They're the access keys to the thing that he came across with Lanfear that's like half buried in the ground, the big spear. And she's kind of like, we need to move on, because even she's scared of how much power he could wield if he tapped into the Chodan Call. It's the most powerful sign ever made.
If he just touches it, it's going to be like would be bad.
At this point, if you were to get a hold of it, he would go. Yeah, if he would have tried to channel at that point when he saw the big one, he would have been burnt out.
The breaking part two, breaking
electric boogaloo.
Oh, thank you, boogaloo. Chodan boogaloo. Chodan
boogaloo. I don't think that's how you say it.
That's not definitely not how you say it.
Oh, so Matt and Rand are here to save the city center. What are they saving?
What is it? Damn it. Oh my God. What is it called? The community center.
Thank you.
Oh God, I should know that.
I will show you.
God.
Wasn't there an episode of Community like that where they're like, we got to save the community center?
I'm sure there was. That sounds right up. And I'm sure they breakdance to save it too.
Probably.
Only if it's fucking Chevy Chase doing it, I wish.
And by the way, the only reason I was barely on time tonight was because we had to watch the Parks and Rec with John Ralphio and Mona Lisa.
Don't be suspicious. Don't be suspicious. Now, don't be suspicious.
Money, please.
So great.
Remember when they fake their own death and they're like hiding in the park watching it? Is that the episode you're talking about?
That's the one. Yeah. Because I forgot it was a 45
best
minute.
Best characters.
Oh.
I will never. It's hard when, like, because he's a pretty good actor, but like when you see him in something, he will never be anything but John Ralphio.
Are you guys watching St. Denis?
I've seen it advertised. Is it funny?
It's good. It's the new Office in a good way, which I guess that's not real.
It's like a scrub.
It's the Office. Type, you know? It's the Office in a hospital.
Nice.
But who's in it?
The mom from, she's in a lot of other stuff too, but I always fucking forget her.
And what channel's it on too?
I've been watching it on Peacock, but it's probably on Hulu or...
It's got dude from Living Color, David Alan Grier in it.
Yeah.
He was the one person I saw. Some dude, he's like, I'm kind of like the Aretha Franklin of this place or something. And he's just like, I can't remember his response, but I remember just laughing my ass off.
The mom from Goldbergs, who was also in Reno 911.
Oh, nice.
Oh, yeah. I remember her.
She's
fucking funny.
It's so funny to see her because she played a mom so well, and she's so not a 50-year-old mom. She's okay, anyway, check out St. Denis, everybody. It's a good new show. So we are gonna all right, I'm gonna go to Wi-Fi here, see if that helps my connection.
Well, and so they're going through, you know, like you said, Des, trying to find the community center.
Yeah.
And they start talking about, he's like, it looks like there was trees parked here, and it was like almost gonna be like a nursery for the Chora trees, because there's one they find that's like the tree of life. The thing that the Waygates have that they move the leaf to make it open and everything, that's the tree that they're talking about. I think this is the only one left in the world, isn't it, Jeremy?
Yeah.
Or is there was one at the Eye of the World, but it's gone now, right?
No, it wasn't. They always thought that the green man was supposed to be taking care of it. And so when they're like, hey, where's the tree of life? And he's like, what? Remember, I don't know. if you remember that. They do that in the
I don't the first remember book. That. Really?
Yeah, he's like, what? It's not here. And then he looks at Rand and goes, you should know that, right? You're like, because you're not one of those. Okay.
No, you're not one of those guys? Okay. Cool.
Whatever. Yeah, go back and read it. It's actually like telling.
Dude, I'll have to check that out. That's funny. Weird. I never noticed that. Once Matt is alone, Rand goes off to go see his thing. Once Matt's alone, what's up?
The Korra are genetically engineered organisms originally created using the One Power. They emit an aura of peace and well-being.
Yep.
So.
Well, that's Matt and Rand both talk about it, right?
I feel like if Matt had pulled a leaf off of it, something would have happened. I don't feel like you're just going to pluck
tried.
A leaf off.
He tried.
I know, but he couldn't reach it, and I can't help but think that was probably a good thing.
It's, let's just say, foreshadowing, shall we?
Yeah, that's this whole fucking chapter. This fucking
okay, buddy.
this chapter should be called Check Back in Two Books.
Like the Empire Strikes Back. It's a bummer.
Again, if there were three Empire Strikes Back in between Star Wars and Jedi.
Oh, wait till you get to book fucking 9 and 10, buddy.
Oh man, you're gonna get to three The Last Jedis in a row. You're gonna be like, "What? Didn't we just read this book?" Could
have
sworn.
See that lovely head of silver hair you have? It's gonna be gone, buddy.
Justin, when that happens, we will be celebrating my 55th birthday on air.
Sounds good, brother. 10 years from now. But Matt starts thinking about treasure. He starts fucking kind of like poking around for stuff, like because he's got the Adaheta, he's got the ADHD, he doesn't know what to do with himself. And he starts looking around, and lo and behold, what does he see? Jeremy, you wanna chime in? What does he see?
He sees a redstone doorway, those twisted redstone doorway. He's like, I'm going. You thought you could get away? I'm going at you now.
He's like, yeah, you fucking trickster, Dez. You held it for so long, I almost believed that you didn't know. I'm like, did he really not get that he went through another doorway? Jesus Christ.
Well, so Rand goes through the door first. Rand's like, I'm here to do my thing.
No, Rand goes into those columns. It's completely different.
Well, it's a different doorway, but he vanishes into wherever we're going to find him next chapter.
Yeah, like there's a bunch of like glass columns. Like when I'm described, I think of it as like a fun house, like when you go into the mirror and you can't figure out which way to go.
And then Matt is thinking about not going. Well, he just doesn't want to follow. Oh, that's right, because he doesn't want to follow Rand. He's like, I don't want to go in there. But then he finds the red doorway and he's like, that's the place to be.
He's like, yeah. Well, he's like, oh, I'm going to get me some more answers.
Yeah, I'm going to fucking go make. Well, and doesn't Rand say to not follow him? He's like, you're not Aiel, so you either nothing will happen or you'll like die. Who knows? Like, I don't know.
Or you'll become a clan chief, which Matt absolutely doesn't want. He's like,
yeah, well, they wouldn't let that happen. If he came out as a clan chief, they'd kill him.
You're going to find out that he can't. He can't do it. Like, he probably would have walked through and nothing would have happened. It's nothing.
Exactly.
Why is there an orange? Why is there an orange Julius in here?
What?
It turns out it was just a maze.
Matt just walks in. There's a Spencer's gift on the left and a Claire's on the right.
And it wasn't the Tri-Wizard Tournament after all.
So we'll get to Rand later.
Yeah, we'll get to Rand later. But Matt goes through the doorway, and he's kind of like, "Oh, it's going to be the same." And then obviously, it's sort of the same, but not really. And these are the foxes. The first people when he went through, they were kind of. He said they reminded him they were kind of snaky, like snake-like, serpent-like. These people, he said they're more fox-like. They have kind of like a red mohawk crest down their back, and they're wearing. I don't know. The way it's described, it's like the leather like daddy outfits in dodgeball. But I picture it as being like they have this like kind of like leather kilt with almost like lederhosen but kilty instead. But it's made out
and
of
the like, other guys are dressed like the cobras.
Humans. Yeah, the cobras.
Ben Stiller's cobras.
Exactly.
As Jason Bateman would say, wow, that's rad.
Oh, it's a bold right strategy, Cotton. Right in his beak, Cotton.
Oh,
god damn it!
I'm shocked.
Dude, Jason Bateman is so funny, dude. So good. Oh, he doesn't have any balls, Cotton. So he gets in and, you know, immediately he's like kind of like talking shit to them. Or he's like, he's kind of like, well, if I don't get my answers this time, and you better not try to trick me and this and that and the other thing. And he turns around and then like there's nothing. His guide is gone. There's nothing there. And he turns around again. And then there's what, five people on this one, right, Jeremy? And there's only three for the snakes.
What did the eel fin ask him? Because I remember the questions at the end of the chapter, but what did the eel fin ask him?
You mean the first doorway?
No, it says he is greeted by one of the eel fin who ask him the same questions about iron, musical instruments, and devices for making light. And Matt confirms he did not bring. Oh, they just made sure his pockets were empty.
Because it's like, you know, as in any magical story, you know, those are their weaknesses. Fire, iron. Or does iron not
water, earth, air. Sorry, that was my last airbender.
Captain Planet. Oh, last airbender. Wait, that's probably cooler than Captain Planet.
That's way better. Yeah. Sorry, I had to walk away. I had to use the bathroom, but I learned my mistake for the first time I was on.
Dang it. It's so funny when you pee on air. It's the best thing ever. And you're like.
Twice. It's happened to me twice.
Dude, it just like completely oblivious to it. It's the greatest thing ever.
I was like, well, I started. I can't stop.
Yeah. Ow, it burns when I stop.
It'll sting. Can't stop. It'll
you
sting.
Guys can hear
it.
You guys can hear that? Oh, no. So is it because they're susceptible to iron, Matt, Jeremy?
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Yeah, that's
yeah, when you bring music hypnotizes them, fire or like bright lights kind of like dazzle them and kind of stuns them for a second and then... You know, iron could kill them, but they always bring like bronze.
Oh my God, they're Mogwai.
Don't feed the elephant after midnight, bruh. No, how they multiply the saber.
That's funny.
But Matt is very shit talky and threatening them, and you can tell they're just kind of like, yeah, whatever. Also, one of the things they say, and Jeremy, I can please confirm or deny. They say it's been a long time since anyone has come here. My thoughts are because nobody goes to Riordan, and when they do, they go through the columns and then they fucking leave, or they go through the arches and they leave. They don't go poking around. But the one in Tyr has been used off and on over the last 300 years, you know, by the First of Mayen and others. So they've obviously had a few visitors, right? Okay. That's kind of what I was like. That's something, you know, after 30 times, I'm like, oh, shit. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
Never thought that.
I totally agree.
Let's see. I think that's almost all I got. I'm like, yeah, I have daddy / kilt / Oktoberfest equals Eelfin.
Yeah. So definitely Lederhosen.
Yeah. But they're like leather Lederhosen made out of like human skin though.
Obviously,
or at least that's
obviously.
What do you make yours? What are your hosen made out of, dude? Oh, they are German.
Cotton.
They're late World War II ones. Not really ones.
No, no.
They're running out of stuff.
So he walks in this star-shaped room, gets asked if his pockets are clean. He says yes. They walk.
He wins the Publisher's Clearinghouse big check.
Star search.
All good. Star search. Dang it. I was close. You are correct, sir. Yes. It was so hot. I saw a robin dipping his worm in Nest D.
And
that's a
Don
and Mike
joke,
isn't it?
It wasn't.
Isn't that a Don and Mike joke, Jeremy?
Yeah, that was. Yeah, they had. It was the Johnny Carson.
Yeah, but it was like Mike O'Meara like doing the Johnny Carson voice.
Oh yeah,
McMahon Bull.
Does anybody have in their pockets rouge, paper clips, and a penny?
oh my
god! That was when he wore the headdress, dude.
So he walks. He walks for a while, and then he basically ends up in the same. It's the same type of room, but based on this being a magical place, it's the exact same place, right?
Yeah, yeah, it's the exact same place.
You kind of froze. I didn't catch the whole question.
Sorry about. So he walks into a star-shaped room, walks for a mile, and then ends up in a star-shaped room. He comes back to the exact same star-shaped room because he's in.
Yeah, because he says he's been gone for like almost an hour, right? Or has Rand been gone an hour or whatever? I forgot. I do have one more clip to kind of end with, but it's part of how Matt ends. So,
This is the end. Well, this isn't the end of Matt, but spoiler alert: he dies.
No. The end of the chapter. The end of the chapter.
Yeah, you mean when Matt dies.
He's supposed to die. Like
spoiler.
That. I know. That's why.
What is dead anyway?
I've been waiting.
He was
for
only
Matt
mostly dead.
To die.
The friend was mostly dead. I need a miracle.
Bring out your
dead. He said to blaze.
Bring out your dead.
To blaze.
Bring out your dad. Bring out your dad.
I am the Dread Pirate Roberts.
Let's just watch that movie.
Let's do it.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Side note right now. So, side note, there's this show on Hulu that I've been watching called The Dark Side of the Ring. I think that's what it's called.
Oh, yeah.
It's a vice thing. Did you watch it too?
I feel like I watched it. It's definitely been on my list. I can't remember if I ever pushed play on it, but
it's called The Dark Side of the Ring. It's about wrestling. And it's just like all the horror stories of wrestling, man.
Oh, God. Yeah.
I had not realized, dude, I did not realize how many wrestlers have been murdered. Straight up murdered.
Really? And okay, I have not seen this then.
So each one, like each episode talks about a different wrestler or scandal or something like that. Dude, I stopped watching wrestling in like 1990. Yeah. I have no idea what happened after that or anything, but I watched more documentaries.
I
mean,
I might have watched a couple of like, you know, like when The Rock and Stone Cold were like really big, like I might have came across a couple late night or something, but yeah. I never watched wrestling after that. So
yeah, you and me probably stopped watching it about the same time, right? Did you know Miss Elizabeth's dead? No.
I did know that died. For some reason. Yeah,
yeah, I didn't know that until recently. She died.
Yeah, like she died like in like.
Did you know that Jimmy Superfly Snooker probably murdered somebody? Probably murdered his girlfriend.
You know what? He's like a Polynesian like mafia cat. Doesn't like surprise me that much, but I mean, yeah.
You guys should watch this and just be like, whoa.
Was it Chris Benoit?
Oh,
like,
yeah,
murdered Chris Benoit. His fucking family, right? Like,
there was a 2-part one on that. Whew. But
didn't he murder his wife and his kids or some shit? Like, it was bad.
It was a sad one to watch, man.
So speaking of tales from the ring, does anyone else on this call want the half hour back that they spent watching the Tyson Paul fight?
Oh God,
no, because I didn't watch it. So
I watched it. Yes, it was terrible. I would like to get that time back, please.
Was it just really, really bad?
It was.
I think Tyson threw 30 punches.
Tyson was really old, and Logan Paul was nice.
Yeah,
the two things
was,
you don't.
That's what I heard. That was the one thing I did heard is like he kind of just started clutching because he like didn't want to hurt him. I'm like, really? Because that's I thought Mike would at least fight. It would be a pretty good fight.
Well, the first couple rounds, Tyson won the first two rounds, and Paul was like, "All right, let's box, motherfucker." And then by the fifth round, he's like, "Oh, this poor guy."
He's just punched out. He's like, oh yeah, you're 60.
Yeah,
totally. Just father time, dude. It's no sweat off your butt. It's like, no, you know, it's not, it's not
undefeated.
Still Mike Tyson. Yeah,
father time
still Mike
undefeated.
Tyson, but yeah, so is pussy. Or, you know, whatever your version of getting sex is. So sex is, sorry, that was terrible. Can we cut that out? Is there editing? Nope. I met cats. I love cats.
Too late.
And you know they are damn okay. Let's play this clip, shall we?
This thing needs a dump button, like on live TV when they can.
Yeah. I need a dump button. Period. And like an 8-second delay. Like we can't say that. God damn it!
Hit the dump button. Right. Hit the dump button.
Dump it, motherfucker! All right, I might skip ahead a little bit because I'm not sure exactly where this is, but it's Matt.
The other's women. Their stiff hair rising in a crest before spilling down their backs.
Everybody loves
all wore long
hair.
White skirts that hid their feet.
Especially
the
when
women had weird glasses Nelson. That fell below their hips.
The red soldier.
Yes, dude.
The men wore even more straps than the guide, wider.
What if there's like the opposite of albino ones and they're like Grace Jones?
Each harness supported a pair of air-bladed knives on the wearer's chest, bronze blades. Matt judged from the color.
Furiosa.
But he would have given all the gold in his possession for just one of them. Speak. One of the women said in that growling voice, by the ancient treaty, here is agreement made. What is your need? Speak. Matt hesitated. That was not what the snaky people had said.
The snaky people?
They were all staring at him like foxes staring at him.
Is that their official name?
Who is the daughter of the nine moons and why do I have to marry her? He hoped they would count that as one question. No one answered. None of them spoke. They just continued to stare at him with those big pale eyes. You were supposed to answer, he said. Silence. Burn your bones to ash. Answer me. Who is the daughter of the nine moons and why do I have to marry her? How will I die and live again? What does it mean that I have to give up half the light of the world? Those are my three questions. Say something. Dead silence. He could hear himself breathing.
Nothing.
Blood throbbing.
Nothing
in his ears.
At all. Fuckers.
I have no intention of marrying and I have no intention of dying either. whether I'm supposed to live again or not. I walk around with holes in my memory, holes in my life, and you stare at me like idiots. If I had my way, I would want those holes filled.
Okay, real quick, before you hear what he has to say. And Jeremy, please, if I'm wrong, tell me, fucking dumbass, shut up. Okay, the first one, that was the eel fin, correct? Like with the E's?
Yes.
Because they're snakies, that's the reason how I can remember kind of AE. They answer questions very cryptically, and you're supposed to agree on, like, you don't have to pay a price for them, do you, Jeremy? You can ask your questions and then you just, good luck getting out of here, right?
No, you'll pay a price. It's just better to set that price before you start rambling.
For these guys, yes, they mention it, but is it the same for the other ones? Because I don't remember him discussing any kind of a price.
No, I don't think it's the same. I think you're right. You don't have to set a price for the.
You don't have to set a price, guys, but also they good luck something. Getting out of here. Yeah, these guys, they are more like a genie, a shitty one. They grant wishes, but if you're not smart enough to word your price, they will kill you or keep you there forever. And if you don't name it with, like, you have to close all your loopholes or you won't be able to fucking get out of there. Inadvertently, yeah. Matt asks. That helps them out in the long run because he, like pretty much no one else in the world, gets to enter this realm, which is called Sindal, for a third time way later in the books. Inadvertently, he asks for three things and they grant them. And the price is, like you said, him dying. And
no,
the rest.
He's no, I said I wanted a 12-inch penis.
Yeah, no. He said the first one he says, he goes, if I had my way, I'd like to be free of Aes Sedai and the power. That's the first one.
Does he? I'm reading that right now in the cliff notes, but I do not remember him saying that. I remember
he's about
starting...
to right now. I'm going to back up a little bit, but they start getting ready to throw him out. They just are like, ask your questions or, you know.
Yeah. Cause he asks two questions, which he's hoping is only one. And he's staring at them, right, waiting for them to answer that before he continues. But they're just like,
but they don't answer questions. That's why they're like deadpan. And then when he makes requests, they're like, done. And that's where this comes in.
Yep.
But at least answers to my questions might fill some in my future. You have to answer. Done. One of the men growled.
Said I'd like to be free of the power.
Done? What was done? What did he mean? Burn your eyes, he muttered. Burn your souls. You are as bad as Aes Sedai. Well, I want a way to be free of Aes Sedai and the power. And I want to be away from you and back to Ruidian. If you will not answer me, open a door and let me. Done, another man said. And one of the women echoed. Done. Matt scanned the walls, then glared, turning to take them all in, standing up there in their pedestals, staring down at him. Done? What is done? I see no door. You lying, goat-fathered fool, a woman said in a whispered growl, and others repeated it. Fool, fool, fool. Wise to ask leave-taking when you set no price, no terms, yet fool not to first agree on price. We will set the price. They spoke so quickly he could not tell which said what. What was asked will be given. The price will be paid. Burn you, he shouted. What are you talking? Utter darkness closed around him.
So the first thing he says is, I want these holes in my memory filled. Then he says, I'd like a way to be free of Aes Sedai and the power.
Again, he says, those are his fourth, fifth, and sixth question.
Those aren't questions. Those were requests. That's the difference between the Eelfin and the Aelfin. The Eelfin will answer your questions. The Aelfin grant requests. That's why when he asked questions, they just stared at him like, what do you mean? We don't have the answer to that. Ask us for something and we'll give it to you. And when he says, I want the holes in my memories filled, as you go farther along, Matt's memories are filled with those of great generals and, you know, all of this. Like, he has all of this battle knowledge from all the great generals over, like, the history of time. But also he has those men's memories in, like, segregated parts. So he'll just remember parts of his lives, of his past lives here and there.
This guy's like that, the thing on, you know, that the movie Big, where he's like,
yeah,
I want to be big. These guys are that. They grant the request.
Right. Technically, yeah. And then they extract a heavy price for sure. The second thing he asked for, like I said, free of Aes Sedai, free of the power. You've heard us talk about the Foxhead Medallion and what it does, right, Des?
I don't remember, but I probably heard it.
He wakes up after being dead and he has this silver medallion around his neck, and it prevents him from being touched with the power. You can pick up a rock with the power and throw it at him and it will still smash him. But if you try to hit him with fire or balefire or any other kind of weave directly at him, it will hit him and just dissolve.
Whoa.
So he can kind of walk into a battle filled with people with the power and just be like, fuck off, and not really give a shit. And it's really awesome later in the books a lot of times.
God, man.
Yeah.
And he will know, because it will go like cold against his chest if someone's trying to channel against him.
Okay, Justin, when you get your dice tattooed on your hand, what numbers are going to be showing?
I've thought about this a lot. I think probably snake eyes, but I want them to do like crowns instead of like, or something from the Wheel of Time, like either a crown or a dragon, something like that.
Ooh, a dragon and a crown.
Yeah, but it'll be snake eyes. It'll just be one of each. So
yeah.
And then I want to write the time to roll the dice in the old tongue on my hand if I can. I know people have that tattoo, but it's fucking sick. So.
All right. I'm officially in now. I was skeptical before. I'm in. I want to see it.
And it was going to go on a discount. Yeah, Jeremy doesn't have any tattoos. He's a nerd. Just kidding.
Yeah, I'm definitely the nerd now.
Yeah, for sure. I'm not playing Harry Potter, watching Harry Potter, and listening to Harry Potter books all at the same time at all. I haven't done that one time this week. Oh, wait. And Desmond, you know me so much. You know I'm not lying.
Oh,
I... One ear. I got the Order of the Phoenix book. I got the Order of the Phoenix movie, and I'm playing some fuck in my room. What's up? I'm gonna cast some spells at you. Nah, it's fucking good stuff. I will say this: Book Harry is spicy.
Book what?
Book Harry's spicy.
Oh,
Book Harry.
Yeah. Like, whoa.
He's like one of the later books. The Minister of Magic comes, and he's kind of like want him to like, hey, you know, it'd be good if like, you know, the community saw you were siding with the Ministry of Magic. He's like, well, I don't like how you do shit, so you can eat shit, basically. Like, it's like, yeah, get him. He says, I don't like how you do things, and he holds up his hand, and you remember the Umbridge made him like write lines for like scarred his hand. He goes, I don't like how you do things, and just walked away, like, mic drop. I was like, ooh.
Did you ever see the SNL skit Goblet of Fire?
I did.
When they recut the trailer, and it's basically like it's showing him and Ron are probably gonna fuck by the end of it, and they keep cutting away. Goblet of Fire.
How old is this? Who was it?
Like I said, it was just.
Please tell me he was hosting, and it was him. I don't know.
It was just. It was literally the trailer recut. Like there was no. They didn't re. I mean, they might have actually added a couple scenes, but a lot of it was straight scenes from the movie.
He must have been the host or something. He had to have been. I don't know how they could get away with that. That's hilarious, though.
Yeah, it's so good. Goblet of Fire.
And then the last thing that Matt says is, "I'd like you guys to be. I'd like to be able to open a doorway and be away from you." And that's actually how he gets his Ashendar eye. You don't really realize what it's there for until the end. But
why is that his key out? What is that? That's why he gets it, because that's the only way to get
out. Not this time. Not this time. But later on, he goes to something called the Tower of Genjai, and it's just a silver tower with no entrance in it. But he can make the. You make the sign for the game of snakes and foxes. It's like a. Is it a triangle with two wavy lines, Jeremy? Upside down triangle. Something like that. And it kind of opens a magical door into the tower. And you can kind of go in. I think you can go in without having to follow their rules, right, Jeremy?
So you can go in and bring all those things that they ask you if you have.
Right. And still,
that's how you can do it.
Yeah.
No,
but they won't like follow that. They won't follow the treaty, though. Like, if you follow the treaty, like, and don't bring those things, Dez, like, then they're supposedly not to, they're not supposed to be able to hurt you, but they'll still, like, trick you into getting lost there till you die, or you know, stuff like that.
Yeah. Okay.
There's no rules against ropes, let's just say that. So that's all I got really for this one. And then, you know, next chapter is, I think, is it all Rand's perspective, Jeremy? I think it is.
Yes, it's all Rand's perspective. Well, you're gonna like it. It's time travel, sort of.
Yeah, it is time travel.
Yeah,
dude, I didn't even think about that, Jeremy. Oh my god.
Yeah, it's time travel. You're probably gonna listen to it like several times, because I had to reread it several times.
Oh yes,
you're gonna like it.
So, and in case
you know what, if he doesn't get into it after this one, we should probably just give up. go back to MRU and just say fuck me all the time. Just quit.
You guys are probably wrong. It's probably like two chapters away. This is just random.
No, it is the next chapter, 1000%.
And just in case we just to make sure we hit the nail on the head, this chapter ends with Matt not being able to breathe, like basically feeling like he's getting choked by magic. So
it's not magic. It's a hemp rope.
Probably
maybe
right.
It's made out of their luscious ginger locks. Disgusting.
Awesome. We'll talk a little bit more here in a minute. Live, catch the people up on our on stuff. But just letting you guys know, thank you for listening. Next week we're going to be talking about chapter 20, The Rising Shadow, chapter 25,
Shadow Rising, Rising Shadow, whatever.
Wait a minute. The Road to the Spear. So we'll just be talking about that. And thank you for listening. We're doing this live every Tuesday night. It's going to get a little shaky over the holidays. We got our Tuesdays are landing on rough nights for me during the holidays. So we might just take a 2-week break. We might pop in on some other nights. I'll try to keep you up to date on when we'll be changing to. But so far, Tuesday nights on YouTube, 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Come join us. Send us some emails at thankthelight@gmail.com. That is thankthelight@gmail.com. Let us know what you want to talk about, or just jump on and talk about these chapters with us. If you're a longtime fan, you can come on here and set Justin straight. If you're new, I think this is a fucking great way to go through the books. I'll come out and say it. If it's your first time through, this is to make sure you might not have to read it 10 more times after this to figure out what the hell's going on. You can just talk it out with us and stay caught up. And that being said, Jeremy, so great to have you. I don't want to welcome you back. I don't want you to feel any pressure to keep coming on, but I'm glad to know that you're not afraid to just pop on every now and then. I think, you know, at least a once a month correction podcast is definitely due. I think, you know, I think you'll probably be doing every 4 to 6 weeks just because you're tired of screaming at an empty screen about everything that we're wrong about.
I just want to welcome him. Jeremy's here and he has notes.
I had notes. I had things that I've heard. And you know, another thing you guys talked about too, you were saying that the people in the Wheel of Time were kind of like not literate. But I was thinking last, like, you know what? I would disagree with that. Because you think about like guys like Matt, Perrin, Rand, they're like country bumpkins, right? They all know how to read. They all love books. The Aiel were kind of like almost nomadic people, but they are all
they love books.
In fact, they love books. Like it's like one of the things that like when peddlers come through, they buy books. In reality, I don't know that there maybe like there's some poor sections in like big cities where they're
probably
talking about
and
people
there's probably
being
some
illiterate.
People who live way the fuck out, you know, too.
Yeah, but like it's actually a pretty literate society, and I
yeah,
guys like
probably
Robert
way
Jordan.
More literate than not.
And they still don't have any idea what's going on, even though they've been reading for 3,000 years.
There's no internet, bro. Yeah. There's no outposts. Yeah.
There's people wandering all over the place. There's fucking sailors going all over the place. There's
yeah.
There's
are they believable? Can you trust them? They keep talking about this frozen rain falling from the sky. I think it's hooey.
I love how you're still hung up on that. You're like, they don't believe in snow. Come on.
I mean, even if you've never lived in Colorado, again, we have the internet and TV so we can see it. But I don't know. It's just, I think this story for me would be, I think this story would be better served if the breaking happened 500 years ago and nobody fucking went anywhere for 500 years. I could believe that. They're like, holy shit, the end is coming. Let's just stay.
I mean,
our
that is what food. Happened. It's just,
it's not a lot of people. They're still trading. Like I said, there's sailors taking goods from port to port. Like,
but here's the thing. This is like, if you were like, if you lived in, I don't know, like New Orleans in the 1600s, right? And you're like, well, it's definitely never snowed in New Orleans. I can almost guarantee you that. It doesn't get cold. And you've never really seen a day where it gets above like 72.
Or and you've never 72. Met someone who's from Colorado.
Or even if they did, you'd be like, dude, you're not going to, you know, where I come from, there's snow. Like, what's that? Because I've never seen it.
Mess with me.
But still, by the time you're 80... people would have come.
You would have jumped in your car and drove up there?
No, but people would have come to your town and talked about it. And like, you would have this sense in your mind that, okay, this is a thing. I've never experienced it, but I don't believe that an entire generation of people not born in New Orleans are gaslighting me.
I think you believe that a lot of people moved around a lot more than they did, and they didn't. You were born in one city or a small town, usually. You didn't travel too far from it, and then you usually died in that town.
Okay, now, Jeremy, this is 300 years ago you're talking about. I can believe that. 3,000 years ago?
You would say it's even worse. People would move around even less.
But in 3,000 years,
I think the point that Des is making, you're going from a, like what was a futuristic, magical society to dark ages in a couple of years, to where you had basically electricity, you had cars, you had something that resembled like trains or helicopters. You had people who didn't have disease. You never had famine because they grew everything magically. And then you have none of that. How long would it take you to recover to at least a semblance of where, say, they are now, sailing cities, palaces, you know, they're making
wagons.
You know, how long would it take you from going from that futuristic, like everything is taken care of society, to nothing, to get to where they are now? And it's taken them 3,000 years. What Des is saying is like, that shouldn't have taken that long to get back to that point.
Yeah, that's kind of like, I think that this story would ring truer to me that everyone is still so lost and dumbfounded by other cultures. If it was, again, if something terrible, if World War III happened today and we all ran to our huts for 100 years,
right,
and then came out, there'd be a lot of fucking questions to answer. But in 3,000 years, I think we
probably would have recovered more than this. That's fair. That's fair.
Yeah.
But also, I think you would get a distorted sense of travel because the people that we're following travel the whole continent back and forth several times. And they start doing it very quickly through different means.
But even the Aiel, they're fucking like, we meet these Aiel who are out running around, obviously. Yeah,
those motherfuckers
things,
run 75 miles
witnessing,
a day.
Finish your thought.
Just that. Yeah. Like the Aiel are obviously well, at least some of them are well traveled. The ones we've met are well traveled. You'd think they would have heard of a man proposing to a woman.
No, but that's not their culture, though.
I know that's not their culture. No, they're dumbfounded by it. When the girls say it to the Aiel, they're like, what? The men propose to you?
You've heard of arranged marriages in India. I'm still dumbfounded by it. I don't get it.
But you'd be like, okay, then you've, but they, I don't.
But you wouldn't be completely surprised that it happened.
I don't get the sense when they respond to Nynaeve and Egwene that they've heard.
I still don't understand why you're, this is like perplexes. Like,
because he spends so much time on it. Robert Jordan spends more time with the women talking about where they come from than he does the dragon becoming the dragon. If you're going to spend this much time on it, then I need a better, if you want to talk about magic, I don't need explanations for that. It's fucking magic. You don't have to explain it. It's magic.
Can't just magic
two women talking to each other about their cultures that I feel like they would have at least heard of or read about or come in contact with. Or
yes, but Desmond, you have to think about it. This is the book. This is the way that you convey the differences between two different people's society by having two people have a conversation about it.
They can have the conversation, but that doesn't mean that they all have to pretend like they're all.
But if they weren't perplexed, then there wouldn't be any differences between their two societies. If you're like, we only propose, only the ladies propose in my society. That lady would be like, oh, that's okay, that's great. Then you wouldn't be like, oh, I could see there's a cultural divide here. If the other woman is shocked,
it's like me going to Japan and being dumbfounded when they ask me to take off my shoes when I come inside.
No, it's like, not, because you've seen movies and television and things like that.
But that's what I'm saying. The Aiel have come in contact with this before.
They're very secluded. They almost never leave the Aiel waste.
That's true.
It sounds like they're, some of them at least, are running around traveling outside of the waste.
One of the first things that the women,
you're telling me that 5 years ago is the first, in the book, 5 years ago is the first time anybody left the waste.
No. There's, but it's very rare. Yeah. Very rare. Like, The literally,
they certainly don't do it in mass. They did it one time, the Aiel War.
Yeah. That's the one of the first things that the ladies say that you first meet that are the Aiels is like, we've never seen water that you couldn't step across.
Right.
Again, it seems like they're more.
He's still perplexed.
It seems like they're more well traveled than that. If you can run 100 miles a day, you've come across a lake before.
They're all liars.
Not in the Sahara Desert, you haven't.
100 You can run 100 miles a day and you've never he's seen such anything a in kid. The desert.
He is, dude. He's like, why don't they just look it up on the internet? I don't understand.
Why don't they just Google it? This is some bullshit, this story.
I'm just saying, well, the only reason I'm upset.
I get what you're saying, dude.
Because this is.
We get it.
This is easily fixed. With the breaking happened not as long ago, and Robert nobody fucking went anywhere for 300 years.
But
they really don't.
Yeah, Jeremy's right.
You really have to understand. They really don't. They don't. Like, okay. You're seeing like very small. It's why there's people are perplexed when they're like, "Oh, I've seen snow." You're talking to the 1% of the 1%. That's the people who are following.
Robert Jordan is basing most of his writing on his experiences. A lot of his experiences, especially some of the ones that have to deal with other cultures, were in Southeast Asia. They probably don't fucking know what snow is, bro. They probably are like, you're crazy, white man, because they didn't have the internet. They live in these villages in the jungle and they fish all the time and they don't see, you know, anybody. So like, think about that. And that was happening in like the 70s.
So if we're following the 1% of the 1%, then wait until we go back to their village for the people to shit their pants about their culture. If this 1% of 1% is moving around the country and they've seen things before, then let their first interaction be like, I think what you're doing is weird, but I've heard tale of it. And then when you go visit their village and those people haven't left in 3,000 years, let them be totally confused by the concept of a man proposing to a woman. Not the one who's not the 1% of the 1% that's well-traveled that we are currently dealing with in the story.
I don't think he's going to get it.
It's like, you go to the Philippines, you know they eat balut, the fermented, like, dead baby chicken, but
it's still going to be shocking when you see it.
It's still going to be shocking if someone throws it in fucking front of you, and if you decided to somehow disapparate with a pile of snow for someone in the Philippines who's never left their village, they're going to shit themselves and say, what the fuck is this? They probably barely know what ice is. You can freeze water? What? It's 90 degrees here all the time. This is insane.
Makes no sense. I got a balut story for you, too. This is hilarious. A guy that I work with, he's the whitest man. He's from Iowa. He's like a big, goofy white dude. He's hilarious. I love him.
He's the whitest man.
But he's married to a Filipino lady, and her dad would eat balut with him. And I was like, wow, you actually ate balut? He's like, I like it. And so he brought it to work.
Have you ever tried it?
No, I would not even know. You couldn't put a gun to my head and make me eat that stuff. But so he put it in the microwave and it exploded in the microwave.
That's worse than fish. You're fired.
He had to take it outside. He had to take it outside and like take it apart and clean it, like deep clean it. It was so disgusting.
Buy a new one.
Microwaves are cheap. $50. Throw that motherfucker in the dumpster. I'm not cooking anything in that. I'm not cooking my cup of noodle with your balut guts.
I don't know when he did it, but we still have the same microwave, I think. And I've used it. So
I would have bought it even afterwards and have been like, I can't. That's like someone, we microwaved some dog shit in there. Okay, cool. I was going to try it one time. My daughter's friend is Filipino. Her family, like her whole family lives in the Philippines. And she like had some sometimes. And I was like thinking about it. And I was like, I'll give it a shot. And she like bit it. I was like,
nope.
That's the beak. I'm good. Russell, the girl's dad, his best friend, Stacy, is married to a Cambodian gal. Like real deal Cambodian. Like her family was killed by the Khmer Rouge Cambodian.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, her sister was taken for prostitution because she was pretty, and they killed her male relatives, and she went into a war camp.
Trigger warning! Dump!
Sorry, it was...
Dump!
Sorry, it was just, it was crazy. But she was the one who taught Lisa how to cook like a lot of like Filipino food and shit. And Russell went over there to Cambodia with them, and he was telling us about just all the crazy. He's like, oh, my favorite thing was like the like deep fried scorpions on a stick. He's like, they're delicious. Yeah. Like, he's like, it's like a little deep fried like crab satay or something. I'm like, okay.
All right. All right. All right. All right.
Deep fry them crickets, brother. I'll eat them.
All right. Come back next week when we talk about the foods of Indiana Jones and the Temple of Doom.
I chewed monkey brains.
chewed monkey brains. God, I was horrified at that. And the snakes, too. I'm going to cut the fucking snake open, baby. Ugh.
All right. Suck it, you lying goat fathers.
You sons of goats. Get it right.
Sons of motherless goat.
Sons of motherless goats. Their curse words are weird.
Oh, most important thing, this is a little bit late, but retroactive. The views and opinions expressed in this program are those of the speakers and do not necessarily reflect the views or positions of any entities they represent, i.e. We Mixed It LLC and Sounds Awesome, respectively.
That's does it still count when it comes from you?
Well, you guys don't have to take... It does. Well, it's still mine. The company, my company, my LLC is still set outside of my dumb opinions.
And that's true.
I agree with Desmond. Sometimes I say stuff I don't believe in either. So it's the same thing.
The company
I am always
owns it.
Going for a laugh. Sometimes maybe it's, you know, not all jokes are appropriate or land correctly. And for that, I apologize.
Yeah, they can't all be home runs.
They can't all be home runs, man. Sometimes we hit some dribblers up the middle. It's just,
that's
right.
What
it is.
There you go.
May you always find water and shade, nerds.
Later, nerds.
Done! Fool! 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 Leave your computers open. We'll see you next week.
Motherless sons
of goats. I have a phone. Do I have to do that?
Yes.
Is my phone open?
No, okay. Don't close the app.
Probably
right,
if
I'm
I
go take a
leak.
You guys keep the volume on.
I'm going to crank it up.
Take the phone with you, bro. Please, please. We need a stinger. We need a stinger. Please. Go pee on camera. You can do
he
it, Jeremy.
He doesn't put any stingers in anymore.
Nope.
That's why you got to go pee right now on camera.
It used to be my favorite part of the show.
I know. I've gotten lazy.
All right, man.
Oh, and that being said, Justin, I know I've been pretty fast.
You froze.
I know I've been pretty fast. This one won't be out until tomorrow.
Oh, wow.
It's fine. I'm
so disappointed in you.
Oh.
Yeah, well, you know, Des, try not to suck so much.
Yeah. You need to work on that.
No wonder this podcast isn't successful, you piece of shit.
There's our stinger.
I love you guys. Bye.
Later. I am not average. I am not ordinary. I am a masterpiece. You know I do it for me. I am not perfect. No, that's imaginary. But I'm a masterpiece. You know I do it for me. And all my colors and paints, all my lines and my shapes, every move that
mixed and edited by Desmond McNeese for We Mixed It, LLC. Go to whatsoundsawesome.com.